Martin, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Nick. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Really good. We're recording on a Sunday. We're taking this seriously again.
I know, this is crazy. Party. And you've been out for a bike ride this morning, haven't you?
No, I didn't actually. The weather's been horrific today, so I might pop on Zwift in the garage later on.
Yeah, well, you have to. You've got your training plan.
Well, you know, it's Christmas. Taking it easy now.
The wind down begins.
Well, yeah, we had some Christmas drinks with some friends on Friday, so yesterday was a bit of a write-off. And yeah.
You can still do that, can't you, in your tier one?
We can, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So just there was just the four of us. Yeah, you can't do it then, can you not?
Maybe not at
the households.
You're not allowed to mix households apart from at Christmas, which for some reason you're allowed to do all of a sudden.
Well, it'll be interesting. Did you see Germany's just got into national lockdown again, I think, until the 10th of January today?
I haven't seen that, no.
And they've got about the same number of daily cases as us, but three times the population. So in theory, our situation's worse.
Yeah. I've been monitoring it, like in around the towns where we are. You know, you can look up in your area sort of thing. And round our way now, it's back up to the same level it was before the second lockdown has started. So how, you know, it's just, why aren't we going back into another lockdown if that's the case? You know, it just seems But anyway, bright notes.
But yeah, we did our Christmas shopping on Friday. That was the reason why I couldn't do the podcast.
Yeah.
So we're actually all prepared now. We, sofa's off. I took a day off, so we went to Exeter. Big long list. The kids have actually made their own list this year, which has been really nice, just adding things to it over the past month or so. And I was there basically to say no to a lot of stuff.
The dad's role, yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, we've already got one of those. No, they're definitely not going to ever play with that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Perfect. The voice of reason.
Hopefully.
So you do in-life shopping then, real-life shopping in proper shops rather than online?
We've been doing online as well, so lots of stuff has been being delivered during the month. But it's just more like little stocking fillers and those kind of things.
Yeah, they're tricky, aren't they, to buy online?
Yeah, and so it's just like going to Lush and getting bath bombs for their stockings and bits and pieces like that.
Their business over the Christmas period, it's always rammed around this time of year.
Mm, yeah, and Exeter was really busy, to be honest. So that doesn't bode well for things going on, I guess, and potential lockdowns. But I guess everybody's got to do their Christmas shopping at some point.
Yeah. We've mainly done everything online this year, actually. Everything, which is a bit different because we usually go out and spend a day or so together going around the shops, because it can be quite nice sometimes, can't it, at Christmas time, shops together, and if you just take it easy. But yeah, we haven't done that this year. So, yep.
How's work been going?
Work's been going okay, yeah. Nothing else has happened. We've just been working, really, and then preparing for Christmas. But after our last conversation last week about the trial emails, put some thought into it, and I am going to actually automate them.
Okay.
So I've been working on that for the past... not full time for the past couple of weeks, but dipping in and out of that, getting that done. It's just about ready to go. I made one concession to my worries, which was to put a pause button in. So if I am having lengthy conversations with a customer on a trial, I can just go in and pause those automated emails so that they're not going to get bothered by them. So that's a thought. When I put some thought into it after our conversation, I think, yeah, that's probably the right way to go. Get them automated, but be able to pause them if I want to.
I did have a thought after I was just listening to the podcast before doing this one, just to remember what we spoke about last time. If you were to use an external, are you coding it yourself or using another tool?
Coding it myself at the moment.
Yeah, because this is from memory as well, but I think with close.com, because that's a customer CRM type thing, but it does do, as soon as you add a lead, it can kick off these workflows where it'll send emails. And I think if a customer replies to one of those emails, then you can add the logic in there to pause the rest of the sequence and so on.
Yeah,
so you might,
because I use Pipedrive for a CRM, and they have a similar thing where an event triggered in Pipedrive can then kick off a workflow, or a workflow can kind of trigger, you know, an email going. But it requires sort of changing in state within Pipedrive, so I'd have to integrate with the API to then trigger those events and that sort of stuff. And it just wasn't working out.
With close, it has access to your email inbox, so it sees when they reply. And, well, you do your replies as well. You can do them from close or from Gmail, whatever you want it to do.
Yeah.
I guess Pipedrive is perhaps similar.
It is similar. Yeah. I think that was my first port of call, was looking at different bits of software that might be able to do it. But in every case, I got to the position where at some point in my code, I've got to trigger an event that says, you know, start this process, or this is the email to send, or whatever. And it just, at the moment anyway, it's not very sophisticated. You know, it's just a long if this, then that sort of thing clause. So I've just done it as a case of these events happen and then trigger this event, you know, trigger this email, whatever. So maybe at some point I'll make it more sophisticated by integrating one of those proper bits of software that can manage all that a bit better. But for the time being, it works all right the way I've got it.
Mm. Yeah, I always have it in my mind where what I've done is custom coded at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. If I ever was to get to the position of taking on the sales or marketing person, that's at the point where I'd look at moving it into another tool so they could almost look after it.
That's it. Yeah, you want, if somebody else is going to be managing the content of the emails and when they go and all that sort of stuff, then yeah, you need it somewhere that they can do that, don't you? But for the time being, it's just me doing all that stuff, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the new website last time. Has that led to any, you know, improvements in trial signups or anything like that?
It's really hard to tell at the moment. It looks like I've got a slight uptick in visitors, but again, that's difficult to really tell. The trials are still coming through. You know, not so many at this time of year, but still getting a few coming through. So it's not made it any worse, put it that way, which is always the worry with these things. But at the moment, the content isn't very, very different, you know, so it looks better, but it's not, still the same content. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about, actually, is I know you mentioned you were looking to bring someone on to do some marketing for you. I'm thinking about the similar sorts of things. I can't decide whether to do the same as you were speaking about, bringing someone on to manage the marketing. I think that's what you were talking about, wasn't it?
Mm.
Or just do things like pick someone up to do some content, some copywriting, you know. I think what I'd like to do first is get the website redone, basically, in terms of the content, from somebody that knows what they're doing rather than me. So I think that's my first point of call. I'll look for a copywriter to do that. And then maybe get them to do some SEO articles as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 100% sure whether I want to get someone on to manage the whole thing. I probably don't think I want to do that just yet, but certainly going to bring on somebody to do some copywriting. That's what I'm thinking about there.
Sounds good. You've got the support person you've got helping you out. They could probably, they know a lot about the system and the customers and things, don't they, I guess? Are they talking to customers?
She does, yeah, she does. She is now. It's one of the things I was going to mention, actually. So just last time I was talking with Alana to bring her up to speed on doing some of the sort of customer success calls, if you like, you know, some of these trials, talking them through how to get the system set up, helping them out with any problems. And she's been doing that the past couple of weeks. So they've only been about 3 or 4 calls that she's done, but they've gone really well. So that's fantastic, because it just frees me up from so much time from managing those. So that's really, really good.
And that's something you were doing previously, or it's like a new thing altogether?
Yep. I was doing it previously, yeah. So that's really good.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So another thing I've done as well in the past couple of weeks is I've hired a developer.
Oh, cool. You said you weren't going to last time.
I know. Well,
last time I
mentioned about all my separate lists of different bits of things that need to be done, new features, requests from customers. And I kind of looked at it all. I've not done my, you know, aggregation of it all and bringing it into one list, but I just kind of scanned through everything. I realized there's just so much there. And I do want to get some marketing going now. Well, more marketing than I have been doing anyway. And so I can't do it all. So I thought, well, I look at the sort of situation in the bank account. The money looks okay. I got one of those bounce back loans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that I'm going to use it for a developer. So I hired a developer on Friday, in fact, starts tomorrow. And the first thing is he's going to upgrade the Laravel framework, because the one I'm on is way out of date. And that's, there's loads of packages that are used that are out of date as well. So everything's getting a bit difficult to manage. You know, when you want to do something new, it's kind of like, oh, I can't do it with that package, but you can do it with this package. So I thought a good first project for him was to upgrade Laravel. And then I'll get him up to speed with the code and everything as well. And it'd be a good test project, you know, to start off with, to make sure he works out okay. But yeah, so I'm excited about that.
How did you find your developer?
I used Upwork. Yeah, it was a bit difficult, actually. I invited a few people. I left the job post open, so I got lots of applications. Lots of them didn't use the keywords. You know, the idea of you say in your reply, mention a keyword in the first line.
Mm.
I did that, and I would reckon 75% of people didn't use that keyword, so instantly they don't get.
Well, that's good then, isn't it? It worked.
Yeah, it works really well. Yeah, it just amazes me how many people, you know, fall for it, you know, and just don't obviously read the full post. But yeah, so I narrowed it down, and I had a list of five. I interviewed three. I really liked two, but they both had problems in that one of them didn't turn up for the original scheduled interview. And then like an hour later said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. Can we go again?" So I was going to say no, but then I thought, well, just to see what he's like, so I've got another comparison. And then he turned out to be really good on the actual interview. So I then had a decision to make. But in the end, I decided not to go with any of those. Did a bit more searching, invited a few more people, and finally, after another three interviews, found the guy that I thought would be right. So it's a bit of a painful process, but I think I feel comfortable with the guy I've got for now.
Well, that's not bad, though. I mean, we only recorded the last podcast a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And you've managed to find and recruit someone within 2 weeks, probably less than that.
Yeah. It's good. I feel confident about this guy. It's only part-time. It's not a full-time for the week. He's doing kind of a half week. He's already got a project on the go, which he's working on sort of the other half of the week. So I think that should be enough time to get decent work done. Any less, I wouldn't want to go for it, but half a week, I think, 2.5 days a week is pretty good. Mm. Yeah. Exciting. So hopefully that'll go well. I'm excited for that to start. Yeah. So how about you?
So you're going to be spending your time managing a developer and working on some marketing stuff as well then?
Yeah, well, my plan is to get to the end of the year with all this trial stuff in place. Hopefully, it's probably cutting it a bit fine now, but hopefully get somebody on board to do the content for the website. Because I find that if I'm not happy with the way something is, I don't have much enthusiasm to work on it. And so if I'm going to be driving people to the website, through marketing, like ads and so on, I really want the website to do its job rather than at the moment it be like a bit of shoestring, hoping they'll contact us, or start a trial. So what I'd really like to do is kind of marketing, I suppose, but getting the website up to date and with proper content on there. And then once that's done, then start working on ads, I think is probably the best thing.
That is kind of funny, though, that you say that even though you sat on the same website for 3+ years.
I know.
Even though you had a new design ready to go and stuff, you took ages to roll out.
but now I've got the time, I think, is the big difference. Now I feel like I've got a little bit of space to work on it, where previously, because I was doing all the support and I was trying to build the features, I just felt frazzled to make the time to do that stuff. Whereas now, with Alana doing a lot of the support, the majority of the support, and I can hopefully get some work done on the development stuff by the new developer, I do feel like I've got a bit of time now to free it up and do some of that extra bits, which I should have been doing all those years ago, but I haven't managed to.
Well, there's only so many hours in a day, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I could have just said this extra stuff I'm not going to do. Some of the features that customers were wanting, I could have said, no, I'm not going to do them. You've got to wait. But I didn't, I did what I did. So how's things going for you? You had a good week, a couple of weeks?
Yes, I think I've got a decent amount done. I got the article published that I was struggling to get finished last time and emailed out all the email list about it, and that led to a few new customers coming in, which is good. Yeah. I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but it always happens that, and I think it's important to do, is just keep building new features, keep writing about them, documenting them, and just keep letting people know about them. Whenever I add something new or some new functionality or feature to the tool and go through that process, it always brings in new customers. Whether it's just a case of they were waiting or need that particular feature or think they'll need it, or whether it's just because it shows people that the product is still being worked on and evolving and getting better.
That's good. Yeah.
Seems to be good. But then on Black Friday / Cyber Monday, I've been sitting on these two features I've been waiting to consider building. I didn't know which one to start working on first. And also, pretty similar to you, actually, I've been wanting to work on some of the copy on the website and stuff, because I know there's two groups of people that are using the tool that I've said about before. There's agencies and in-house SEO people. That's one group. Mm-hmm. And then the other group is kind of the affiliate marketing people who run content websites. And so I've been wanting to work on the copy to kind of address those two groups and speak the language they speak and so on. And then on, I think it might have been Cyber Monday, actually, I saw Ruben Gomez retweeted someone's cheat sheets that he bought, Caitlin Borgoin, who's done some clarity calls, she calls them, but I refer to them as customer interviews, I guess. And she put together some cheat sheets about, why these are important, which we know they all are anyway, but then also the kind of questions to ask to set them up. So the emails you can send to invite people to do them, and also the questions you can then ask, how you can record them, some little sheets for doing that and so on. And I've been wanting to do them for ages, to be honest. And so I decided to just bite the bullet and get on with it, because I was at this kind of junction point of considering building these two features, wanting to work on the copy and stuff. I thought it would be a good idea just to speak to a few customers, which I hadn't done for a while, to be honest. And the most interaction I have with people is if they ask for a demo. But at that point, they're kind of brand new to the product. So they haven't used it. And with kind of customer interviews, the kind of general thing is that you should try and do them a week or so after they've purchased, so that you can then, they can still remember exactly what it was they were hoping your product was going to do, why they bought it, anything that was putting them off, those kind of things. But I've never done those because I always just sit at home and write code and like doing that. But I decided to bite the bullet. It was a good time to do it. I was at the junction of wanting to work on some new features, but thought it would actually be good to get some feedback on them before I build them. So emailed all the customers and just said, do you fancy hopping on Zoom for a quick chat? Kind of pitched it as saying, I've got these new features to do. Wanted to get your feedback on them quickly. And so last week I had 6 calls.
Wow, that's a lot.
And they're all, I guess for SEO, they're all SEO testing customers as well. And so they only started being customers, I guess, around July time. So I was still kind of able to dig into, you know, what was it you were hoping the tool was going to do? What were your reasons for number one reason for getting it? Anything that put you off? How did you find out about it first? I was still able to kind of ask those questions and people could remember. And there were some really good questions that I got from the cheat sheet, such as, if you had a magic wand, what's the one thing you would build or add to the tool? Some really good ones to ask. And I've really enjoyed doing them, actually. They've been really good. That's probably all I got done last week. So although I had 6 calls, I kind of did the call. They went anywhere from 30 minutes up to an hour for one of them. Mm-hmm. But I recorded the call. So then I went back and listened to the call afterwards and took the notes down as well. So although I only had 6 calls, and in theory that could have been 6 hours, I guess that's doubled up from doing the note taking as well afterwards.
Yeah, it always takes a lot longer than you think. I know, the little bit of prep beforehand, you then have to sort of fit it in your diary, and then everything around your diary from that time is kind of gone as well. So yeah, they always take longer than...
Yeah. But they've been so really useful, amazingly useful. And I wish I'd been doing them ages ago, back at the very start, even like 3 years ago with Sanity Check, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess I have done them over periods of time, and people have asked, like I've spoken to people every now and again, but not in a consistent, methodical way. And I've kind of found out that the tool's being used in ways that I didn't really expect it was being used, or it wasn't expected, you know, it wasn't planned to be used in a particular way. People are using it in ways that I didn't even realize. Got language now to use on the marketing pages and for describing features.
That's great.
Which is good. And I was able to discuss the new features I was thinking of building. And one of the features, which had been requested for by agencies, I didn't really think was going to be useful for the content / affiliate sites. And it turns out they'll find it really useful as well, which has been really good.
That's good insight.
Yeah, made it more moved up the priority list, I guess. Yeah. And also the naming of the features as well. I was going to call them one thing, but a couple of people all said, well, actually, they're you'd refer to them as this potentially. And so, yeah, perhaps the naming of them has changed as well. So, yeah, that's been really useful.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's probably led to my to-do list getting longer, but that's always good as well.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, at least it's a to-do list driven by your customers rather than just stuff you made up, you know.
And as I said on the call to some of the people, you know, I started building Sanity Check and SEO testing to kind of fix my own problems. And that's got me so far. And I guess that's why I have felt I haven't had to do these customer calls before, because I've been building the product for myself to solve my own problems. But now I'm at a point where I kind of want to push on with the product. And so it has to be more about more than just solving my problems. It's, you know, I've got to be worried about solving other people's problems now as well. And learning about how they describe, how the customers and, you know, potential customers would describe them as well, what they would call them, the language they'd use and so on. So yeah, it's good. I think it's been a good time, a good point in the product's journey to do them. But I'm certainly going to try and carry on doing them as well. Now, perhaps once a month, I'll invite a bunch of new customers to see if they want to have a chat and so on.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. Has it given you a bit more sort of enthusiasm to work on those features as well, knowing that the customers are asking for them and want them?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. Well, I know so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even, yeah, at the point a couple of weeks ago, I think I didn't say it on the podcast, but I was kind of like, well, you know, I've worked on so much, got the product so far and stuff. I don't know, maybe enthusiasm was dwindling a little bit. Maybe it was the time of year, I don't know. But yeah, I certainly feel a lot more motivated to work on it. Keen to get going on these new features and stuff, actually. So it's good. Yeah.
Great. Brilliant. Well, I've got a burning question from last time.
Go on.
Which is, your product hunt went well, lots of new trials.
Yes.
How have they been converting, and has that been working out well?
I say it's a bit too early because I only just, on kind of Thursday, Friday, they started coming to the end of the trials and so on.
Right.
I was just looking, actually. Let me have a quick look. I did have a look because I thought you might ask this. I think I've got five customers from it so far, which isn't a huge amount. But it's
not bad, though. It's five new customers.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to do the. I'm not going to do it now. I was going to look at the data as we are, but I won't bother. Yeah, I'll
come up next
better number next time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to know, just because you did quite well on that, didn't you? Number two on Product Hunt. It would be interesting to know how that converted.
Yeah. And I need to. A reason for not looking at the data live now is I do need to look at the data a bit more, because there are a lot of people who just, as I said last time we recorded, people who just, well, I don't know, tire kickers, whatever, they just try products because they're on Product Hunt and so on. So there will be a lot of people who registered but then didn't go through the next step of kind of being an active trial, which is where you actually add a site into the tool. So I'd need to find out how many people registered, how many people actually became an active trial, and from those kind of figure out how many became customers and the percentage. But
good to know.
Yeah, I'll work that out next time. Yeah. Did you spend any money on Black Friday or Cyber Monday?
I didn't actually, no. We'd already bought quite a bit of stuff for Christmas before then, but I kept an eye out for anything that I might be interested in, but I didn't really see anything that I was bothered about particularly come up. So no, didn't buy anything. Did you?
Only for software stuff.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I bought those cheat sheets. And we'll link to them in the show notes as well, because they're useful for anyone who's thinking about doing customer interviews and so on.
Yeah, that sounds
clarity
good.
Calls, as they're called. I bought those. And then I did buy a couple of other SEO tools that I'd been just thinking about trying, to be honest. One had a lifetime deal, which was phrase.io, but that's spelt with an F. That was on AppSumo, which is like a tool to help you write content using machine learning algorithms and so on. And so forth. And
is the machine learning to help you write them with an SEO focus, or?
Yeah. So on a basic level, you'll enter your keyword that you want to create content around. It will go and scrape the top results of Google and just see what words other people are using.
Right. Okay.
There is some other NLP and lots of other stuff going on in the background, and some other APIs that they plug into, and they're generally quite good. It will help you expand content and make it probably better than if you're just not using something like this. But there's also a point of diminishing returns probably that will come quite quickly, because if everybody's using tools like these, then everybody will be creating basically the same content using all the same structure and so on. So it'll be interesting when we get to peak NLP stroke machine learning content creation tools. It's interesting actually, because there's a Google update has rolled out on December the 3rd, it started, and it's going to take up to 2 weeks to roll out, actually. And from looking on the SEO communities that I have been involved in, loads of affiliate-based stroke content sites have been hit really hard by this update.
Oh, wow.
And it's these kind of guys that are, funny enough, all probably using these types of tools for like Surfer SEO and Phrase and ClearScope and so on, for creating their content, making sure they've got all the right keywords and so on. So maybe Google has already got to the point where it's able to recognize this content and do something about it. It's funny.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that until we were just talking about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Did you buy anything else? SEO tools?
No, I think that was it. I'm trying to remember. No, I think that was it.
No, I had a look out, and I was tempted to buy a few tools. I can't remember what they were now, but I just thought, well, you know, if I really need them, I'll buy them when I need them. You know, just don't worry about it now. So I left it for this time.
You didn't fancy running a Black Friday sale yourself?
No, not a chance. No.
The only way, one way I did think of doing it, and I only thought of this after the fact, actually, is to, because I don't do them either, because I don't want to kind of feel like existing customers have got a bad deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But one way I thought that you could do it, if you're in our situations, is you could do, because I don't generally do annual plans. So you could do an annual plan that's just like 1 month, because generally annual plans are you take the 12 month cost and offer it for 10 months.
Right.
Cost.
I do take the 12 month cost and offer it for 11 because I'm tight.
So I thought, well, for a Black Friday sale, you could do it for 9 months as an annual offer. 9 months cost, basically. You could do 10, obviously, because you're tight.
Yeah,
that's one way I thought potentially could consider doing it next year.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. Because you don't want to... I don't like the idea of doing a Black Friday sale because I just feel it cheapens things, which I know it's a bit silly, but that's kind of the way I feel. If you're looking to get a lot of customers in at once, then maybe it's a great idea. But it's never really appealed to me to do anything like that.
I did have an idea. I emailed Fleming and Herrera about this, actually, because Phrase did... it's through Black Friday, so they... through AppSumo, so they did a lifetime deal on AppSumo. And the way I've seen and read about how people do AppSumo deals who do well out of it is that the lifetime deal that they offer will be feature restricted or restricted in some way. And so the idea being that you'll get a bunch of customers on this lifetime deal, but then you'll be able to upsell them on these other features and things at some later date.
Right.
But I also thought, you know, there's like Phrase have done really well, and they wrote up a big blog post about it all. I think about how they did it last year, and I think they made $800,000 or something in revenue from that. And so I said, my idea that I pitched Fleming and Hooray was, well, what all you need to do is build some tool, work on it for a year, build up a little bit of interest, and you know, get customers just to prove that it works and stuff. Then do a AppSumo deal for, you know, lifetime, whatever, 3 months worth of cost for the rest of your life. You get it for free, whatever. Yeah. And then you can just sunset the product after that. You get like $500,000 worth of revenue in. You sunset it in terms of you don't build any more features and stuff, and move on to the next one. And so every year you're building a new product, then do your AppSumo lifetime deal, and then sunset it.
it's a nice idea for making money. I'm not sure your customers would be very happy.
Well, in theory, they've got their lifetime deal though, haven't they? So... They've got the product, you know, they can use it forever and ever.
That's true.
You're not
as long as,
because the problem with the lifetime deal is that for those customers that have paid once and get it forever, in theory, you know, how do you fund the development of more features for them? Well, in this particular case, they get what they pay for, and that's it.
It's fair enough, but it's generally a way of getting revenue to build those next features, isn't it? So you've got a bunch of customers that are effectively investing in your business to help you builds the next phase of a business. So it might work as long as those features are what they need and they never need anything else, or they don't need anything else for the foreseeable future anyway, then it would work.
I do always wonder, like, in the terms of service of AppSumo, I've never looked into it, like when you offer a lifetime deal, whether that is just like, what if the product was to fold in 2 years or 5 years or whatever?
That's probably the risk you take, buyer beware sort of thing. Cool. So I know you've been writing loads of articles for your website and stuff recently, and a lot of them are useful. I've read some of them, not all of them. I wondered whether you'd thought about doing a sort of a start here article, which is a guide, if you like, for people wanting to learn SEO or who know a bit and want to get better, where you could sort of link to all your other articles. Are you at that stage yet, do you think?
Is this because you need this guide, is it?
Yeah, it is. I want you to write it before Christmas, please.
Well, it's an interesting idea, and I have thought about it, but the people who use SEO testing and get the most value from it and become customers and so on and stick around are ones that know SEO anyway.
Right.
And so kind of writing a beginner's guide to SEO probably wouldn't get the type of people that make good customers for SEO testing.
Fair enough. So, but would they become good customers potentially? So, you know, it's kind of like that investing in the future.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to say I'm never going to do it, because I've thought about a few different projects around the type of thing, whether it's a glossary or, you know, knowledge base type thing. Up until this point anyway, the people that make good customers for SEO testing are people that are serious about SEO, and so do it on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough.
But yeah, never say never, but it's not going to be before Christmas, that's for certain.
Okay.
But like, there's loads of, like, I'd look at hrefs.com, ahrefs.com and stuff. They've got loads of great articles on their blog about how to get started with it.
I think that's the thing. There's so much out there on this topic that you want kind of a trusted source. You know, you want somebody who knows what they're doing that you know and trust to say, this is the one to look at. This will be the best benefit for you. And if you just Google it, you'll find loads of articles. And, you know, if you read them all, you'd probably have a fantastic place to go. You know, you'd be in a great position, but who's got time for that? That's the trouble. I'll have a look at Ahrefs and see.
I mean, you know the basics anyway. The best thing
is to
get started with it, just start creating content and iterate from there. I mean,
that's kind of my philosophy, really, is to get this, like I say, hopefully hire a copywriter to do all that, and then as I go, try and learn what I need to know as I go, sort of thing. But the key is, like you say, just getting articles on your website, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and from your point of view, you don't have any documentation at all, do you, published?
Yeah, there are some on there. There were some I put on the website previously, which are now in the support system. So I left them on the website just in case they attracted link. You know,
like, how do I get to them, though? It's not internally linked, is it?
Not anymore, no. It was.
No, so it's not going to... Google won't be able to find it anyway, in theory.
Mm-hmm. Is there still indexed when I looked?
Right.
But
yeah, oddly enough, stuff takes ages to fall out of the index.
Yeah.
Well, it could still stay there anyway. It just won't rank as well because it's not internally linked. But
right, okay. But I wasn't very keen on... I'd have to keep it up to date. I don't know. Maybe I'll think about that. Because it's really good to have it in the support system because people can just search and find it, but then it's not public and it's not linked to the website because it's like an external system. So whether I want to be bothered duplicating it, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
See what your competitors are up to.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Look at that.
See what keywords they're targeting. Look at those.
Yeah.
The best SEO tool is Google itself. And so just find, like, do some searches on Google, see what's appearing, what type of content is appearing for those keywords, and base your strategy around that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To start with.
Yeah. I think I want someone to do it for me. I really like the idea of doing it, but I know that it's kind of a rabbit hole to get into, isn't it? And you can just spend hours and hours doing this stuff, just doing the research, you know.
There's loads of agencies out there.
I know there are.
There's people that specialize in SaaS SEO and stuff like that now as well. So
Yeah, certainly something to worth looking into.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. So it's now, 2 weeks to Christmas? So I don't suppose we're going to be podcasting in a couple of weeks.
No, that's another reason why I was keen to do one today as well, actually, although it's Sunday, just to get one in before Christmas. So, yeah, I guess have a nice Christmas and everything.
Yeah, and you have a great one. I guess we'll start up again in January.
I'm just looking now at the calendar. The 1st of January is on a Friday as well, so that'll probably be no go. Maybe after that. We had like a 12-month break anyway, didn't we? So
don't want to overload people.
No, exactly. No.
Yeah. Probably the week after the 1st would be best, because the 1st I'm sure to have a hangover.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. All right then.
Okay. I'm going out for a rainy walk with the kids now, so.
Nice.
They need enjoy some that, fresh then. Air, as do I.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right then. Speak to you soon.
All right. Cheers, Martin. Bye.
Cheers, Nick. Bye.